When you think of a psalm, what psalm do you think of most people? There's 150 of them. Which number? 23rd psalm. Let's go there. 23rd psalm. A psalm of David. 23rd psalm. For those who are truly God's sheep, this will be very encouraging. Psalm 23, and it reads, six verses in the psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, he leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul, he guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, everyone knows this psalm, most everyone, even non-Christians have heard of it, because it seems to be a favorite at their funerals. But it's not a psalm of death, but it's a psalm of life, rest, and peace. And for something 3,000 years old, it is extremely relevant to our lives today. This study, Psalms 23, will be far from an exhaustive study, but we'll simply just go through it as a brushstroke. You could preach each verse, a whole sermon, but in this case, we'll go through it as a brushstroke just to get an idea of what God has to say for us, to us today. So I want to break down the verses, verse by verse, and word by word, and that's the only way to study God's word, word by word, and verse by verse. The Lord is my shepherd. Let's look at the two words, the Lord. Now, the first thing to note is the source of David's comfort. Where is the source of David's comfort? It's the Lord, who is what? His shepherd, isn't it? Now, the shepherd here, or the word the Lord, is the name Yahweh. That's God's name in the Old Testament. And when you see Yahweh or you hear Yahweh, it means the sovereign, almighty, delivering God. So many people today place their trust and hope in all sorts of so-called lords. Idolatry is running rampant in society. You think, well, we're not bowing down to statues, but do you always put God first in your life? Has some things in your life been more important than God? That's idolatry. But David had it right. He said the Lord, the one true God who controls all things. So, this also shows us our need of giving him his rightful place as Lord over our lives. Now look at the word is. It's a small word, but the first verse says, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is. Can you say that today with conviction, that he absolutely is the Lord of your life? Do you have that confidence to say that the Almighty God is your shepherd right now? Right now. Is he your shepherd right now? Not was, like he helped you in the past. Not will be, like you look forward to something he will do in the future. But is the Lord your shepherd? David had extreme confidence in who God is right now. It's a present word right now. Do you have that same confidence as you listen to these words? Do you? Look at the word my as we go through this verse word by word. The Lord is my. That word, my. Now, this probably is the best thing about this whole entire psalm. It is so personal. I like that word. My. The Lord is my shepherd. So when you look at your Bible and you read this psalm and you study it out, note down the times that the word I, my, me, he, his are used in this psalm. There are only 6 verses in this psalm, but these terms are used about 30 times. That's a lot, isn't it? My shepherd. So the wonderful discovery is that the Lord is not just a shepherd who looks after the entire flock, but he is my shepherd as well, because he is very interested in each of his sheep, those who truly belong to him, those who truly hear his voice when he calls. True sheep of his pasture. The other thing to note on this point is that this entire psalm is only valid for those who truly have Jesus as their shepherd. The note on this point is that this entire psalm is only valid for those who are truly born again. This is not for the unbelievers. These are the ones who have put their faith in Christ as the only one to enter the kingdom of heaven. Not a way, but the way. Those who have repented and put their faith in Christ. It's not about signing a card or walking the aisle or signing a piece of paper. That's not what gets you saved. The Bible says, repent and believe, and you shall be saved. So this psalm is for those who have put their faith in Christ, not for those who simply like the sound of it at funerals. And look at the word shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Do you know much about shepherds? They're interesting to study. What does a shepherd do? Think about it for a minute. Well, this is what the rest of the psalm will explain, but in short, a shepherd provides, a shepherd protects, a shepherd guides his sheep, the sheep of his pasture, those who have truly been born again. So in the New Testament, Jesus often used this analogy of sheep and the shepherd to describe his relationship with those who came to believe in him. Have you believed? You know, belief is not an intellectual belief. I believe that that chair will hold my weight up. That's intellectual belief. That's believing from a distance. In order for you to put your faith, trusting faith in the chair, you have to go what? Sit down in it. Have you believed? Have you put your faith in Christ? John chapter 10 verse 11 says, Jesus himself is the good shepherd. Now, although this is a fair statement, it's a bit of an understatement, because you go to Hebrews chapter 13 verse 20 and the description of him as the great shepherd. He is that, isn't he? So as we finish verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Other versions say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, for this particular verse. Now, I've heard people say, and look at this verse, why didn't he want the Lord as a shepherd? That's not what it's saying. It doesn't say that I shall not want the shepherd. That's not what that means. It's not a correct interpretation. Obviously, it means that with the Lord protecting and providing for us, then we shall not be in lack of what we need. Sometimes we are greedy little creatures, aren't we? Really, we are. And we always seem to have different wants. But thank the Lord that he gives you what you need, what you not want. If he gave us what we wanted, we'd be in serious trouble many times, wouldn't we? We're greedy. We're covetous people, naturally. Do you have the same confidence that David had? I mean, do you have this confidence? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's confidence in the Lord, isn't it? As you sit here today and you're professing to be a Christian, do you have this same confidence that David had in this writing? So it's something for us to learn, isn't it? We should not think, however, that this verse means that there will not be times of drought. Times of drought. Can anybody relate that's hearing this message? Times of drought will come. Times of valleys will come. And the rest of the psalm will talk about it. Times of need will come. And just because you are a Christian doesn't mean that you're immune to the problems of the world. Have you heard people say, come to Jesus and all your problems will be solved? That's not true. Jesus didn't die on the cross to make your life better. He died to save us from our sins and purchase a place for us in heaven. So we're going to have some drought in our lives, mainly droughts, and valleys in our times of need. And the rest of the psalm shows that these things do occur. But the confidence David had is that the great shepherd will always know what we need and when to provide it for us. So let's look at verses 2 and 3. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. In New Zealand, their farms and fields seem to be very green. And the sheep tend to munch on the grass all day long there. But that is not how it is in the dry, arid lands of the Middle East. The green pastures and waters spoken of in this verse were often some distance apart, and the shepherd would have to lead his flock to these places. They would travel from oasis to oasis. So notice the following. The shepherd would lead them from place to place. And that's what the verse says. He makes me, he leads me. Now Jesus, our shepherd, knows exactly what we need. And he is the one that brings spiritual nourishment and rest for our souls. Often we get into a trying situation, and what do? We rack our brains wondering how we have to get out of it. Why are we doing that? If Jesus is our shepherd, and I shall not want, and he leads me beside the still waters, why am I trying to figure it out myself? Am I truly a sheep of God? Maybe it's because I'm not a real sheep. Have you thought of it? Real sheep hear his voice, and they follow the shepherd. Real sheep do. How are you doing in that regard? So the real sheep hear his voice. And we try to get out of those situations ourselves, don't we? Well, if this is you, then believe this verse is true for you. Jesus is the shepherd, not you. Now that's comforting. Jesus is the shepherd, not you. And he knows when to give you rest and refreshment. And where it will come from, too. Lie down in green pastures, quiet waters. First, he makes you lie down. What does that say to you? Well, it's rest, isn't it? That is, Jesus arranges times of rest for you if you're truly a sheep. He also arranges times when you can feed off the greenest of green pastures. And we're not talking physical. We're not talking physical. This feeding is symbolic of being fed with the Word of God. We wonder why we don't have any peace in our life. Maybe it's because you only pick up the Bible twice a week. But you eat 21 times a week. You feed your stomach. And guess where your body is going to go? And guess what is going to happen to it? It's going to decay. Why are we spending so much time on our bodies that will last very short time? Your soul will last for eternity. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust will not corrupt them. And if you claim to be a sheep, you're going to feast on his word. If you don't have an appetite for God's word, check your salvation to see if it's real. There are people claiming to be a Christian but are not. That's the biggest deception of Satan today. People thinking that they're saved because they've said a prayer. That's not what salvation is. Have you repented and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? That's salvation. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 12 says, you have been a Christian a long time now and you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things a beginner must learn about the scriptures. You're like babies who drink only milk and cannot eat solid food. And a person who is living on milk isn't very far along in the Christian life and doesn't know much about doing what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who have trained themselves to recognize the difference between right and wrong, and then they do what is right. So look at verse 3. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The paths that the shepherd takes us on are the righteous paths or the right paths. Now listen carefully. They will lead us to places of rest and provision. We've talked about that. But obviously this doesn't mean that the track that the shepherd takes is always an easy one. Remember, we're going from oasis to oasis. So what is it like from oasis to oasis? What is it like down that road? Well, we know from Scripture they're paths of righteousness. But what about the bumps in the road? What about those droughts? What about the pebbles and stones that need to be cleared out? They're not always easy getting to the oasis. But the Bible says that there are paths of righteousness. Jesus didn't die to make your life happy. He died to make you righteous before a holy God. Happiness just goes away with your circumstances. We can be happy for a short while, and the thing that made us happy has disappeared. Guess what's going to happen? But if you're in the Lord, you have joy. And joy is everlasting, and it cannot be taken away from you if you're truly a sheep of God. Be encouraged by these words. Sometimes it goes through the dark valley, and the next verse indicates that. But it's still the paths that lead to righteousness. Do you want to be righteous, not happy? Because you may be required to go through the sufferings of Jesus Christ. All the sufferings that he went through, you may be required to go through that to be more like Christ. Do you want to be more like Christ? Do you want to be more like Christ? And it may be through his sufferings. Yeah, I want heaven. I want the blessings of God, but I don't know about all that righteousness stuff. That's what people are thinking today. They're not interested in living a holy life before God, and they're not interested in studying his word and feasting on it like a baby drinks a milk bottle after a long nap. There'll be dark valleys, but there'll be paths of righteousness. God's eternal desire is that he would have many sons and daughters who display his glory and light within them. It's expressed in this verse, Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son. Likeness of who? Christ. That he might be the firstborn among many brothers. So God will always lead us into that which is right and that which is true. It is for his namesake that he does this. Not for you, not for anyone else, but his namesake. Our lives should be a testimony to God himself. As Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, let your light shine before men so they may see your good works and glorify the Father that's in heaven. Not you. Not me. But God. Does your life glorify God? Do people see godly attitudes in your life? That's why we're here, if you're a Christian, to be a testimony to God himself. Look at verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, as the shepherd lead the sheep from oasis to oasis, this sometimes meant passing through narrow valleys that had steep cliffs facing on each side. Listen carefully. These valleys were often dark because of the shadow caused by the cliffs. And they were a favorite place for predators to hide in. Maybe this verse should have read, though I sprint through the valley of the shadow of death. This verse speaks to us of the trying times in our lives where there is darkness, where there is confusion, and where there is fear. Notice, however, that the psalmist says he walks through this valley. He doesn't stop. He walks through the valley. He doesn't stop. And he doesn't give up hope. He doesn't give up the race because he has trying times in his life. Finish the race. It's not somewhere that you set up camp. Many people are doing that, aren't they? They stopped in the valleys and they set up camp. They've given up hope. He presses on knowing that if there are shadows, there must be light around the corner causing them. Y'all didn't get that. He presses on knowing that if there are shadows in his life, if there are shadows in the valley, if there are dark times and confusion and fear in his life, there must be light around the corner causing them. Amen. Light! Light! Causing the shadows. Just around the corner. Who is the light? Jesus is the light. Verse 4, the rest of it. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. The wonder of wonders is that though the presence of the Lord Jesus in our lives, we can actually go through these times without fear. Well, having said that, I should say that you will be free from fear to the degree that you will know he is with you. And that's dark times, the valleys, the droughts, rain, hail, shine, whatever it may be. The first time through the dark valleys is always the toughest, isn't it? But it is there that you will learn that though you may not be able to see the shepherd as well as normal, he can see you and is still protecting you. So the frequent trips to the valley become progressively easier as your trust increases in God and your wisdom and knowledge grows in his word. How marvelous it is that weak, fearful people can be given such confidence through a simple trust in the ability of their shepherd. You are with me, the psalmist says, and that is all that he needs to know. There's two things that give comfort. In verse 4, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The shepherd's rod, what does that do? The rod which the shepherd carried was for protecting the sheep from predators. It was never used on the sheep. Aren't you glad? Do we not gain comfort from the fact that it is Almighty God who is our shepherd? No robber, no predator or enemy ever takes him by surprise. And the shepherd's staff, the staff was used by the shepherd to direct his sheep in the way which they should go. And in the case of a wandering, nosy sheep, to pull it back into the line. Again, there is comfort in the fact that God directs us and even disciplines us by pulling us back in line with that staff. That's a comforting sign because he disciplines those he loves. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. So look at verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Here David pictures God as a gracious host who provides all that he needs, even in times of apparent difficulty. David is saying that the provision and grace of God gives him such confidence that in a time when he should be fearful and anxious, like the time of the very presence of his enemies, he is still able to sit, relax, and eat. Think about that for a minute. In the presence of your enemies, you're able to relax, to sit, and to eat. God was the one providing for David. God was the one anointing his head with oil. What does that mean? That's what would happen to a host. In Israel, when someone came to visit you, the host of the dinner party would anoint your head with oil. That was a sign of rest and refreshment. And that's what God does to his sheep. Look at verse 6 as we close. Only 6 verses in the psalm, but it's very powerful, isn't it? Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. Wow. If there's something we need to rest in, is those words by David here in verse 6. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. I want to ask you a question. Can you say that about your life as you sit here today? You will only be able to say that if you have truly come to know the Lord Jesus as your shepherd. If you are truly one of his sheep, and you say, well, yes, I am, but evidence of being a true sheep, you hear his voice and you follow his ways, then this verse is for you. He will never, never, ever, ever, ever leave you, the shepherd. Psalms 37, verses 23 through 25. The steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. When he falls, he shall not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. I have been young, and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken. David was an old man when he wrote this psalm. He says, I have been young, now I am old. So what confidence for this life this should give us as we believe in it in faith. Look at the rest of the verse, verse 6. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Look at the word forever. Finally, we have the small matter of that which occurs after the days of my life. You're going to die. It may be sooner, it may be later, but you will die. You'll stand in front of the presence of Almighty God. So our great shepherd protects and provides for his sheep during their life here on earth, but there's greater news. There is greater provision and far greater blessing still to come than any blessing that you could experience here on earth. One where, as Revelation 21 verses 3 and 4 say, the dwelling of God is with men and he will live with them. They will be his people and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. Think of it for a minute. No crying, no pain. The rewards are great for those truly are one of his sheep. Those are the benefits. Forever is a long time, isn't it? How long are you going to live on this earth? 70 years? 60 years? Forever is a long time. But this infinitely creative God that we have will never fail to amaze us. So for now, let us follow our Lord where he would lead us. Let us stick close to him and thank him for his wonderful grace and mercy. He is not just a good shepherd. He is a great shepherd. He is utterly trustworthy. And when the days of this life are over, then we shall enter into that which we can only partly imagine. Yet we wait eagerly for Jesus, knowing that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Do you love him? Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And if you are truly his sheep, you will abide in his word. Let us pray. Father, Thank you for Psalm 23. We just covered it with a brushstroke. There's so much more to say. But we're grateful that you spoke to us through your word. We ask you to convict us, to conform us into the image of your Son, for those who are truly your sheep, the sheep of your pasture. And Father, there are people here that are not sheep. They have never repented and put their faith in Christ. And I pray that you would conform them and convict them and convert them. Only you can do that. So we ask you to have your will in salvation today. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.